Thanks for pressing play. This episode of Legends and Losers is brought to you by Oracle NetSuite. To turbocharge your growth, check out netsuite.com/legends. And while you're there, you'll be able to set up a free one-hour growth review with an expert in your industry to figure out how you can overcome the barriers and seize the opportunities for growth. Check out netsuite.com/legends. Today, we have a very special guest, the original co-host of Legends and Losers, none other than Colin Vincent, is back, and we play Trading Legendary Stories. Now, as you know, on every episode of Legends and Losers, we aspire to provide you with amazing insights, motivation, inspiration, and deliver conversations worth sharing, except on this one. This is just Colin and I kicking back, having some fun, and trying to make each other laugh with some stories that hopefully you find funny. We talk about things like new hotel apps, Japanese toilets, a guy who got attacked by a bear and a shark in the same year, and why, and a new world record for underwater Rubik's Cube solving. So without any further ado, Legends and Losers with Colin Vincent.
Hello, my legendary friends. This is Legends and Losers, the show for people who like to eavesdrop on killer dialogues, brilliant rants, and crazy diversions, straight up with a business twist. Hosted by Christopher Lockhead, former three-time CMO and co-author of Play Bigger, who has one of the most strategic minds in marketing, but could also hide his own Easter eggs. And now, strap yourselves in. It's time for Legends and Losers.
Hey, Colin.
Yeah.
What did Joey Ramone say?
Joey Ramone said, "Hey ho, let's go."
Hello, my legendary friends. You are on Legends and Losers. Thanks for pressing play. And that voice you heard right there was none other than the most legendary, Colin Vincent.
Hey ho, let's go.
The original co-host of Legends and Losers, back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle. It's a legit saddle. It's a leather saddle.
Yeah, it's a nice chair, right?
Yeah, it's a very real saddle. I like it.
Somebody who thought a lot about that chair got that chair for you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me.
Well, and this legendary microphone that I feel so excited to be talking to.
Yeah, isn't that a steezy? That's the Shure DX3521 FARTIUD. Yeah, that is the podcast mic.
It's a nice design. I like it.
Yes, it's very, very steezy mic.
It's the steeziest mic.
So how you been, Colin?
I've been great. I think the greatest thing is that over the last year, I've managed to lose in excess of 35 pounds.
Yeah, you lost like half a smallish person.
Yeah.
I mean, you lost a lot, 35 pounds in a year.
Yeah.
And you look great. You look like a different guy.
Thank you.
Now,
I feel like a different guy.
Most people put on weight. They don't take off weight. So how did you knock 35 pounds off in a year?
That's a really good question that I get asked a lot.
Yeah, I bet you do. You could probably... Are you coming here to launch your training program?
Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? I think the real big thing, I actually, you know, I wrote a little something about this the other day, that I can pull up real fast, because I wrote a couple of things down. So here are the big ones. I started weighing myself every morning, and I was accountable to the scale, and that helped me. It helped put me in touch with my weight all the time, every morning. And it also helped me process what I ate the day before and what that impact had.
Because it made you think about what you had the day before.
Right. I was like, well, if I gained weight, I'm like, well, why did I gain weight? What did I eat?
Yeah.
Right. What did I eat yesterday? And I think I never thought about what I ate yesterday. Ever.
As soon as it was yesterday, it was yesterday.
And never in my life have I really thought about what I ate yesterday, unless I'm sick.
Have my troubles been so far away?
And I'm trying to remember what I ate yesterday. So
I believe in yesterday.
So then if I lost weight, I'm like, what did I eat yesterday? Why did I lose weight?
How did you not get demoralized on days where you gained weight?
Because I would know that I did something that I could stop doing the next day.
And so that bag of chips was probably what got you. You could identify it most of the time.
Doing this allowed me to feel more in control of what was going on
right.
in a way that I hadn't felt before.
Right.
So that was incredibly empowering.
So you had dominion over your body
yeah.
in a way that you were not used to.
Yeah. So that was like a big, big one, right? And then another thing was...
Try not to bang the table.
Sorry. Where's my gavel?
Yeah.
Another
you
thing
need a gong.
Was reducing liquor and moving to red wine.
Oh. Okay. So you can still drink. You just have to go a little bit more ding dong.
I just went to red wine and
particular wines you want to tell me about?
Anything, any decent cab, any good cab.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like Pinots and a really good Pinot is pretty magical too. So,
you know, I can't drink any of that anymore.
The Pinots?
I can't drink any of that. All I can drink is Italian reds.
Oh.
Brunellos, Chiantis, any of that shit. I love it. But my palate has gotten so tuned to it. The American wines are too sweet for me now. And I got a whole freaking closet full of them. I can't really get into them anymore. It's weird. It's like my taste buds changed like 5 years ago maybe about 5 years ago now. Yeah. Why don't you keep whacking the table?
Well, I want to put my elbows down. I want to get comfortable. Ooh, but I'll be very gingerly about it.
You get comfortable there, honey.
Okay. So,
all right.
So then the next thing I did was I got rid of the sweets, like no cookies, no ice cream, no candy.
You
like,
love that shit though.
I love that shit, which is why I can't have it in the house. You just got to not have it.
Just don't have it.
Just don't have it because the problem for me was at there's a witching hour.
Yeah.
And like
and when the witches start to do their thing.
I turn into a little gremlin. And, you know, a little start snacking on bad things, right? And like
yeah.
the last thing you want to be doing is eating sugar and then going to bed. That's just it's not good.
Yeah.
So
all that, no, not so much.
Yeah, no. So then.
But you didn't go vegan sort of stuff, right?
No, like I have eggs and bacon every morning.
Yeah. So high protein, high fat.
Yeah. And not so much on the bread. Cut back on the bread.
Hey, did you hear Weight Watchers has declared that eggs are like super great for you and you can have as many as you want?
Eggs are great.
No, but there's 0 point on Weight Watchers. That's what I've been to understand. So like, remember when eggs were bad? Remember when you were supposed to have egg whites and all that shit? And now we know that's all not right. That's all. It's so hard to believe all these studies. We're going to talk about some today, but like, anyway, the good news is you can have as many eggs as you want.
Yeah.
So eggs and bacon every morning.
Eggs and bacon.
First thing for breakfast?
Yeah. And you and I have actually discussed this. So like if you have a biscuit, like an English muffin with an egg and a strip of bacon and maybe like a little bit of lettuce or something.
Yeah.
If you have that in the morning, that can last you until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, energy wise.
Wow.
And then the other thing that I do is
you didn't find you're too starving by dinner or by 4 o'clock or whatever?
Well, you can have like a snack, but you don't have to have lunch necessarily. You don't have to have three meals.
Yeah.
I find that you don't really need three meals and you just need one good one and then dinner and not eating dinner too late. Is a big one. And then for sweets, here's what I do. I got a little cappuccino maker.
Yeah.
So I make a little cappuccino with not even whole milk, just 2% milk, little cappuccino. And I get these bars, the chocolate bars at Safeway that are like high cacao.
Oh yeah.
90%.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste very sweet.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, when you have that with the cappuccino decaf,
Decaf. Okay, because you don't want too much. The cacao has so much in it.
Well, I'm going to bed, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that.
It's like this, it's the dessert.
So this happens at before bed.
Yeah. And so it's this rich, like desserty kind of thing that satisfies that, but doesn't turn, but it's not so high in sugar that you're just looking for more.
Okay. So you figured out a way to scratch the itch without causing further.
Without turning into a gremlin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And well, so, yeah. And then also, I was in Croatia and Barcelona when I first started losing this weight, and we were going up a lot of stairs and walking around quite a bit. So that helped. So like being just walking, you don't have to like go run a marathon. You don't have to do anything super hard, but move.
Yeah. Cause you didn't do a massive exercise program. You did this eating.
Not about exercise. It was about moving, being active, but there was no exercise regimen. It was about controlling what I was eating and paying attention to what I was eating.
Yeah. And what was your pant size when we started this this journey?
36.
Yeah. And now what are you?
34.
Yeah. That's what I would have thought. Yeah. And you lost 35 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if you can keep it off, you know, looking over here, eh? As you well know, I'm no doctor, but I'll still take a look. You probably added years to your life. I mean,
yeah,
hard to believe you didn't.
Well, it was actually the most interesting or the most profound experience I had, aside from just catching myself in the mirror for so long and not recognizing who's that
handsome dude I see.
Was on a snowboard last winter. I was just standing and I had some snow on my board and I wanted to get it off and I just jumped up.
And yeah.
I jumped almost three times higher than I was used to being able to jump when I did that. it really surprised me.
You didn't have to carry your fat ass up into the air.
I was so light that I just took off way high.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great, man. And it's great to have you here.
Yeah.
So so I got a story I want to tell you. So we were just at this super ding-dong dude ranch.
Oh, yeah. Right.
In Montana.
Yeah, Montana.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Do they have any Mans Anita there?
No, I didn't see any Mans Anita. I think Mans Anita is in Tahoe only. Or let me say it this way. I don't know shit about Manzanita.
It's in the Sierras.
I just know there's a ton of it in the Sierras.
Yeah, a ton of it.
So that's the only thing I can testify to.
Me too.
But I will say, first time in Montana, and Montana's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just outside of Missoula.
Missoula.
Yeah.
That's a cool name, isn't it? Missoula.
Yeah. I think the place is very cool. I think everything about it pretty much is cool. And so we stayed at this very ding-dong dude ranch.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, and we did a lot of dude things. Very, very fun thing. And I rode a horse for the first time.
For the first time?
Yeah, well, because I've had allergies, I've never been able to go near horses. And so now that I'm getting these allergy shots, hey, speaking of the allergy shots, you want to hear something mental?
Yeah.
Guess where one of our two cats, Louise, where Louise slept last night?
On your head?
No, but in the fucking bed. I got cats in the bed. It's crazy. I never would have believed that you could take these fucking shots and like you go, I could not be in the house for 5 minutes if you had cats. Now there's one in the bed. Yeah, because of these shots.
I can't believe this turn of events.
I know. You're going to be able to make fun of me for this forever.
Forever.
Because I made fun of you and your fucking cats nonstop, relentlessly, like a total bastard. Like you should never make fun of your friend, especially your dear friend. Yeah, no, I made you feel terrible about your love of cats. Yeah. And now there's one in the bed. Yeah.
It's so funny.
But I will say, I never would have believed this about these shots, that you could go and get these allergy shots. And of course, the coolest thing is, they're not giving you any drugs, right? They're just giving you a cocktail of what you're allergic to.
That's it?
That's it. There's no drugs. all they're doing, they figure out all the shit you're allergic to. They like poked my back like 87 times or something.
Yeah.
And they figure out all the shit you're allergic to and they make up a concoction for you. And you go in there once a week or twice a week, however you want to go. And they shoot what you're allergic to into you.
How? Where? I mean, not how, where?
In your arms, your upper arms.
Mm, up here?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the cat lives in your bed after a while. At night, at least. So anyway, long story, way longer.
Uh-huh.
We go to check into this ding-dong place.
Yeah.
And, you know, very nice check-in person, check-in lady says, and the first thing we'd like to suggest you do you have smartphones? And we say, yeah. And she says, why don't you download our app? And on the app, they got everything, man. They got your itinerary because you go to the dude ranch to do dude stuff, right? So we like went, you know, off-roading ATVs and, you know, floating down the river and some hikes and shit and horseback riding and, you know, stuff, right? You go do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man stuff.
So they have an itinerary, yeah, exactly, in Montana. So they have an itinerary for you on the app. That's there. All your dinner reservations are there. Everything's there.
That's great.
And then concierge, you don't call them. So
they have ESP?
Yeah.
They just know.
Me and my buddy Flip, right? Because it was two couples, right? Yeah. Us and another couple.
Yeah.
And at one point, Flip says, hey, we could really use some bourbon and Coke, couldn't we? And I said, yes, we could. And he grabbed his app and he in-app messaged Jimmy, and Jimmy showed up like minutes. So you don't call the everything is, you do it in the app. And then when you leave, you can delete the app if you want. Have you ever had that yet? A full app experience?
No, that's very steezy.
Yeah, I think I just experienced the future of the hoteling experience.
I did experience and something that was really seamless and cool in Japan. We had a code to get into the lobby.
Yeah.
And so we press the code and this glass door opens. We walk into the lobby. It's very small, as things are in Japan.
They got to make room for a lot of people.
It's a very...
Do you remember the first time you got into an elevator in Japan?
Yeah.
You're like, fucking A.
They're like, you better not be... You better... Yeah.
You're the only person in the elevator, but then someone gets in. And you're like, how's this going to work? And they just get in. It's like that in some parts of Europe and the Middle East, too. It's like that at work. When I used to go to Israel for work, the elevators at work were kind of like that. And like, you know, when you're a dude my size and like two ladies walk into the elevator, like yeah. It's
uncomfortable fast.
Yeah, it's not, it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Little.
What's that?
Japan.
Yeah. So we check into this place and there's no one there. It's just a computer and you just register that you're there.
Yeah.
And then they give you another code to the door.
Yeah.
And you walk your door, you enter the code to get in there and then there's your room. And then they keep track of when you leave the next morning. And if you stay past the time, you get charged for the next day. There's no late checkouts.
Yeah, okay.
It's just like if you're there after,
you're there
or you're not.
Yeah.
And if you're there, you get charged for another day.
Yeah, it's like when you rent a Bird bike or whatever. You just have it, and then you don't. It is what it is. And then click, click, and then click off.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of great things the Japanese do, those incredible super ding-dong Japanese toilets...
Oh, yeah. They're so cool.
Right?
Yeah.
They're
like video games almost.
Well, they're way better than video games. Video games don't warm your butt. They don't spray and blow. And they have a blow dryer in that thing. They blow dry your undercarriage, man, after they squirt it. And it sounds like, you know, particularly as a dude, maybe you go, hey, this says this is kind of weird, man. And it is. And it's awesome, though.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely have. They got toilets done right.
Yeah. I don't know, like, how this occurred to people that this is a thing that you would go invent. But it's fantastic. We got to get one of those fucking things.
Yeah. For the man can. You should have one.
All right. You ready for a story?
I'm ready for a story.
Okay. Burglary suspect. Hold on. Burglary suspect nabbed after getaway vehicle gets stuck in large manure pile. This is from our friends at foxnews.com. A bungling burglar in Minnesota was nabbed after his pickup got stuck in a large pile of foul-smelling manure during the getaway, according to reports. Matthew Bloomquist, 29, of Haywick, I think it's Haywick, Minnesota, was found standing on the side of the road, smoking a cigarette, covered in manure from his waist to his feet when deputies arrived to investigate. It gets even better. Quote, he was wearing jean shorts over long underwear.
Oh, yeah.
And no shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Which the deputies assumed were somewhere in the manure pile.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
In an incident report titled, quote, something doesn't smell right, end quote. Yeah. And so the guy stole some lumber. And as he was driving away, while he's still on the guy's property who he stole the lumber from, rams into a big, and that's, there you go. That's the story. All right. What do you got?
All right. Okay. I have so many good ones. I don't even know where to start. Okay. So here's a good one. Man who survived bear attack gets bitten by a shark. Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. 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 This guy's he was attacked by a bear while he was camping in Boulder, Colorado, a 300-pound black bear.
Wow.
Yeah. He was, and then he was 30 yards from shore when he was knocked off his board and suddenly felt pain, searing pain in his right leg.
No, this wasn't in the same day, though.
No. No, but in less than a year.
Wow.
In less than a year. How's that?
You know, you remember our friend Amy Morin, right?
She's great.
She debunks the, like, good things just happen to good people. And, you know, sometimes bad things happen to bad people, right? And it's not God or it's not, you know, she's got an interesting perspective to kind of get your head straight. But anyway, I digress. It would be hard not to think, like, God is trying to get me.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got?
I got Georgian boy solves 6 Rubik's cubes underwater in one breath.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 Did you ever try the Rubik's cube when you tried that, right?
I actually was taught by a monk in Carmel Valley at Tassajara years when I was a child. A monk taught me
in Carmel Valley
how to solve the Rubik's
cube. See, this is what happens when you grow up in Northern California. You get monks teach. How old were you when you were having the monk?
10 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And was this part of your spiritual, was this awakening? How you became the spiritual man I see before me now?
Well, I certainly felt enlightened.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Enlightened, here you have it. An 18-year-old student from Georgia solved 6 Rubik's Cubes underwater in one breath on Friday. This is from Reuters.com. In a bid to set a new Guinness World Record, he said he had been preparing for the underwater challenge for 6 months, training several hours a day. Quote, I trained a lot, planning to break a record and to ensure my safety, because even a small mistake could be dangerous and life-altering.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there you have it. You want to know something?
What?
I never solved the Rubik's Cube once. Matter of fact, I don't know that I ever really tried. That was one of those where I just knew from the beginning this was going to be a bad idea for me. It was like doing math. Why would I play math?
Yeah, it was incredibly difficult.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
All right. So KFC, which you and I have a history with.
Yes, we love using it as just a hashtag KFC, as in yippee, just because it's funny. But
KFC says FCK in a full page ad apologizing for the chicken shortage.
Now, you do realize I'm sitting here holding Beatrice. You sure you want to talk about this?
No, I guess not.
I'd prefer not to have a discussion about
all right,
that.
Let's talk about, is interesting. You'll really like this one. So there's a new fitness trend.
A new fitness trend.
Yeah, it's called, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
Plogging.
Plogging?
Like blogging.
Yeah.
But with a P, like Paul.
With a plog?
Plog.
What? Okay.
Okay. So plogging keeps both humans and Mother Earth healthy. What's grosser, not picking up trash or not taking responsibility for it? So plogging is basically a walk and hike and jog and pick up plastic at the same time.
So you go for a walk, run, jog, and you pick up plastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I do anyway. Like I pick up garbage on the beach and around, you know, on the streets around here all the time. I pick up, I fucking hate those cigarette butts. It's like, don't you understand that it's like you're killing animals and it's like, yeah,
I don't,
not so much on the garbage.
I don't so much mind if someone wants to smoke. I really don't.
No, smoke.
But
go, it's a free country. Have at it.
But why is it okay to just throw your cigarette butt wherever you feel like it?
No, and birds make nests out of them,
like,
and
come
it
on.
Gives them cancer. And
come
like,
on.
And of course, around here, they flow to the ocean. They end up
it's
in the ocean.
Terrible. It's
yeah.
Terrible.
No, it's not cool. All right. So, hey, I wanted to talk about this a little and then go to this story. So Amazon just became the second $1 trillion company.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Apple being the first. And, you know, I got to tell you, I used to love some of the business media. You know, there were certain publications I really, really loved. There are very few I love anymore. They're just, I don't know, they're just not that good anymore. Most of them, you know, HBR is amazing. And, you know, there's some, but like in general, without naming names, you know, the big brands are horrible. So,
you know, Osh is closing.
I'm not sure what this has to do with anything, but yeah, you're right.
It's a big brand, and actually it's a big brand I like.
Yeah, Orchard Supply Hardware. And you want to know the greatest thing about Osh? I mean, there's a lot of great things, but they make the best chocolate pretzels.
Yeah, there you have it.
I don't understand how that's the case. That the hardware store has the best chocolate pretzels.
Our lives will never be the same.
No, I was saying to Carrie the other day, like, we're going to have to go buy like several cases of them and like get a freezer for them or something. I don't know what we're going to do. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know what you're going to do.
So I've been very disappointed with a lot of the coverage of Apple and Amazon getting to a trillion. There's a lot of negative coverage about both companies having too much power and this and that. And look, I'm not suggesting that companies like that don't have a lot of power, for sure. And I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't criticize them. I think you should. But these guys, these are entrepreneurial companies. These are companies started relatively recently, right? I mean, what year is Apple? Late 70s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Amazon is late 90s. And so these are relatively young companies, particularly Amazon. And they were started by, in the case of Amazon, a dude. And in the case of Apple, two dudes. And why aren't we celebrating this more? Why aren't we celebrating the extraordinary entrepreneurial achievement? Why aren't we talking about how if these three dudes between them can create this massive market cap, Why doesn't that inspire people to think they're just dudes? And why don't we celebrate the power of entrepreneurship and the power of technology entrepreneurship? Because they're both tech companies. And yet, I don't see that. I don't see that in the mainstream media. I don't see that at all. I see Apple's $1 trillion. Should they be regulated? You know, Amazon's doing this, doing that, putting these people out of business. Okay. And I'm, by the way, I'm not saying they shouldn't be criticized. If those are valid things to criticize them on, criticize them. What I am saying is, if there was much press about what an extraordinary achievement it was by these people and why that should be an inspiration to anybody who wants to do something amazing with their career, even if you don't want to play at that level. I don't play at that level, but it's still fucking inspiring. It's like, wow. Like a dude sat there and said, okay, I'm going to go build Amazon.com. And so it just pisses me off, I guess, that people don't take a minute to step back in the mainstream business media and say, this is an extraordinary set of entrepreneurial achievements that just went down here and we need to celebrate them.
Fair.
You don't share my heat on this, no, do you?
I mean, well, I don't think that there has been a lack of celebration for those entrepreneurs.
Well, I think over time, that's right, for sure. They've been on lots of magazine covers and celebrated at conferences and this and that. So, you know, I think that's absolutely right. I'm talking about at this particular milestone. Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And we'll do it right here.
Hip hooray. So here's an interesting story from CNNmoney.com. Quote, here's why Amazon may beat Apple to $2
trillion. Wow.
And it's a very interesting perspective. And this comes from the storied Wall Street firm D.A. Davidson and a guy there, I'm assuming it's an analyst named Tom Forte. And he tells CNNmoney.com or money.cnn.com that Amazon may have the upper hand on Apple because it has more room to grow. The company has gotten to its current valuation partly because its cloud computing unit, Amazon Web Services, is booming. And yeah. Forte thinks there are two other areas. So let's just stop there for a second. AWS is what made this happen in this time frame. It's not the commerce business. It's not any of that. I mean, I'm not downplaying that like an idiot, but AWS is a freak of nature. And then he goes on, Forte goes on to say, he thinks there are two other areas of retail that could also help lift Jeff Bezos' company to $2 trillion, gas stations and travel. And then he says of AWS, it has been a godsend for the company's profitability and ultimately its share price. He added that if Amazon was a money-losing e-commerce company, we would not be here today. Translation, it's all AWS that put it over the top. Like that really, isn't that incredible? The number one e-commerce company is absolutely one of the top five most important enterprise technology companies. And some people would argue the number one. And if you took that just for a second, let's give it to them for sake of argument. They're the number one B2C commerce company, and they're the most important number one enterprise company. I mean, I don't know that that's universally believed, but there's a lot of people who would make that argument. It's a mind blower. So what say you? Do they get to $2 trillion?
well, what's their,
they're a
growth rate, you know?
You know what? That's a great question. I believe AWS is still doubling, but I don't know the whole business overall.
Well, AWS is, I don't see how they won't continue to grow. And their business model is just, it's so profitable. So I mean.
Maybe they do it, right?
Yeah. It's, you can't beat them. So.
Yeah.
You can't beat their offering.
No, it's incredible. Let's see here. Let me see if I can find this quickly.
They did go down a few years ago, and some of the products I use had massive hiccups.
So, in the second quarter of 2018, they grew revenue across the company on average 40%, 39.34%. So. And they did 52 billion in the quarter. Is that right? Yeah. What? That's mental.
Mm-hmm.
Growing at 40%.
Yeah. Even Beatrice has something to say about that.
Yeah, beautiful baby bees impressed. She Imagine was. Doing a $52 billion quarter. I mean, that's a giant quarter. That was a big quarter.
And what percent of their revenue is AWS? Like 80%?
I don't know that I'm going to be able to pull that,
like that.
Pull that up that if I quickly. You think it's how much?
80% of Amazon.
It's 80% of their growth?
No, of their revenue.
Oh, that sounds like a lot to me. Okay, here's this. This is from, this is now. AWS revenue growth rate went up just a bit from previous quarter when it slowed. So AWS is growing at 48, almost 49%. So let's just call it 50%. The cloud gave Amazon 11.5% of its revenue in the second quarter. Yeah. A year ago, it was 10.8.
Oh, wow.
So think about that. Wrap your mind around that. How big Amazon really is when AWS
only 10%
is 11%, 11.5%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what made me.
But AWS revenue jumped 50%, 49% in the last quarter.
Amazing.
I mean, there's nothing that is that size that grows at 50%.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's they generated $6.1 billion. So where's there another $6 billion in the quarter, right? So what's that? Is that $24 billion for the year? Just if you do it. So what $24 billion run rate business grows at 50%? I mean, if you're $100 million business growing at 50%, you're on fire.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're doing, like, you're amazing. Your investors are stoked. Everybody's stoked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Amazon.
Amazon. Crushing it.
Okay. I'm probably going to get myself in trouble with this because I can't pronounce this woman's first name, but it's just too funny not to, or too interesting, I think. This is from yahoo.com. Woman slams airline for calling her miss instead of doctor. Says, quote, "This was not about my ego." She tweeted to Qantas, "My name is Dr. O'Dwyer. My ticket says Dr. O'Dwyer. Do not look at my ticket. Look at me. Look back at my ticket. Decide it's a typo and call me Miss O'Dwyer. I did not spend 8 years at university to be called Miss." When asked, so that's the first part. And I can't pronounce her first name, so I'm going to make a fool of myself if I try. So, and then I'm going to tell you what the company did. But before I do that, what do you think about her reaction to being called Miss as opposed to Dr. O'Dwyer? Well, Beatrice.
I mean, under the circumstances, I mean, I think she should probably just let it slide.
Because I tend to side with her.
Okay.
It's like my if my ticket says doctor.
Yeah, but it's just a person who's, you're not, that person is not really smart enough to be even reading the first part.
So you don't think, you don't think they're being sexualist? Because clearly that's what she thought.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it would have happened whether it was a man or a woman.
You know, I guess I can see it both ways. The longer I'm alive, the less stuff like this tends to bother me. Although I do get pissed off by stuff that I shouldn't, but I don't blame her. I guess maybe she should have, like, you know, maybe, but I don't know.
Like,
I don't blame her. But here's the real part of the story I wanted to reference. So, you know, I can't stand the way most companies talk when they talk in this bizno babble, indirect, mealy-mouthed, spineless communication, right? Mm. So when asked about the specific incident, Qantas commented on their crew's behavior at large. Quote, "We are extremely proud of our cabin crew who respectfully serve our customers day in and day out and play a vital safety role," a Qantas spokesperson told Yahoo on Thursday. Quote, our crew treat all passengers with the utmost respect, regardless of age, gender, and occupation. So you said nothing. You didn't address the issue. You just looked like an asshole. You know, Jay Larson says, when you have bad news, go ugly early. Why wouldn't they come out and say, it was never our intention to offend her, and if we did, we apologize. Why is that so hard? I don't know. Companies really blow it when they go, you know, mambo pambo on you, bizno babble on you.
Speaking of airlines, so you may remember this. I'm sure a lot of people might remember this, but it's worth bringing back. This is from February of this year. United Airlines refuses to let emotional support peacock on flight.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jamie Jay and I talked about this when we played Trading Legendary Stories.
Funny.
Yeah, no emotional peacocks. Now, what would they say here?
Peacock.
I have my emotional support hen right here, yeah. Beatrice.
Yeah.
Who's fast asleep, by the way.
I think it's more like you're her emotional support human.
Yeah, it's true, right?
Yeah.
I work for her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is probably a good place to land it for right now.
Well, do you want me to just like rattle off a couple of other funny headlines? That
No. Hold on. We'll play this at. We'll play this at. You know, if you're gonna have a podcast, it's always good to be able to talk. We'll play this again. So we'll cut here, and then we'll come back to another episode later on.
All right.
So, Colin.
Howdy ho!
This podcast really ties the room together, doesn't
it? Sure does. Yeah, it's very nice to be back here. This room is so nice. Well done.